And time now for addiction, mental health, and the law. And this is the finale of this weekly program, which has been presented by the Clearfield County District Attorney. And it's very appropriate that we have with us this morning in the studio the District Attorney of Clearfield County. That would be Ryan Sayers as we wrap up this program. District Attorney Sayers, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on for the last time for this program.
Yeah, I believe it's, the third or fourth time that we've had you on total.
Yeah.
You, of course, introduced the program a year ago as we headed into the month of August. And, here we are a year later, and I think we have some neat moments ahead of us here this morning, a chance to be able to kind of look back and then look forward as well and kind of evaluate, you know, what the program was all about and what was accomplished during the past 12 months through this program, Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law. So let's begin this way. Kind of take our listeners back through a little bit of the history of addiction, mental health, and the law. How did the idea for the program come up, and how did it get rolling and turn into what it has proven to be? And, you know, probably even the bigger question mark, how was it financed? Could you tell us about that?
Yeah. So it's hard to believe that it's been a year already. And a few years ago, I joined in with other district attorneys as well as commissioners to sue the pharmaceutical companies on behalf of the people of Clearfield County in regards to the opioid crisis. And as part of the multi-billion dollar settlement, Clearfield County got, I forget exactly what it is, approximately $2 million, with about $500,000 of it coming to the district attorney's office. And in the settlement, the uses of that money were laid out very specifically what it could and could not be used for. And one of them was public information, public education. And I was approached on one of my other times I was up here for a radio interview saying, hey, would you want to do a program? And I said, absolutely. I think that's a great use of the money to get information out to people. Because something that I've learned in 5.5 years as a DA is that people know some about what is going on in the criminal justice system in regards to the opioid crisis and addiction and mental health, but they don't have the whole picture. And we also have people that are siloed and not really communicating with each other in regards to helping individuals with these things. So it was a great idea to bring about this program that allows people to hear about the different service providers, what is out there to help people in need.
Right. No doubt there's been incredible change, you know, looking back like over the past 25, 30 years of how these three relate. And I'm going to ask you about that here in a couple of minutes. But here we are a year later. You know, the program's been on the air. We've had, I would say probably over the past year, probably 30 to 35 different programs and different guests that we've had on with us. And we'll evaluate that here in a minute, too. But just standing or sitting here now, a year later, how would you evaluate what has been accomplished over the past 12 months?
I think this is ideal for what we could have hoped for over a year.
Great.
Is to get these service providers in here, whether it's, you know, Penn Highlands or even the police, to talk about their role in the system. Clearfield Jefferson Drug and Alcohol, Community Connections, which used to be Clearfield Jefferson Mental Health, these different organizations to come in and talk about what they do and get that information out there. So the fact that we've had 30, 35 individual speakers, and obviously some have doubled up, and I think I've been in quarterly between the kickoff, the end, and I think twice in the middle. I think this is ideal for what we are hoping to do. And I really hope that people listened, and if they weren't able to catch one, or maybe this is the first time they're hearing it, the last program, that they get back on your website because they're all archived there.
They
and
are.
People can listen and go through and say, you know what, this could really help a family member, a friend, or even myself to get the help I need in regards to maybe some mental health issues, or I am struggling with addiction, or whatever that is. So I think this has been a great program, and hopefully people have utilized that information or will utilize it in the future.
Absolutely. And just to reiterate there, they are available. The podcasts are all available on our website, which is connectradio.fm. If you go to connectradio.fm and then click on podcasts, you will see at the very top, since it begins with an A, addiction, mental health, and the law. And those will remain up there and available for you to check out. So if you've had to miss some programs along the way, or there's those that you would like to go back to and listen to again, you can do so at connectradio.fm.
Yeah, so I got to ask you here at the end of this, you've done all these interviews.
Mm-hmm.
What, as a layperson, somebody that's not in the system, what has stood out to you?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, many of these programs have been very interesting and have offered a wealth of information. The ones that really stand out have been the ones that have been frequent guests rather than one time. And there's good reason for why some of these guests could only come on once. And it's not that they didn't offer some great information. But when we had guests who came in, they could, of course, build on what they had talked about before. And one of those guests that we had on frequently, I would say probably four or five times, was Scott Rendos from the Community Guidance Center here in Dubois. And he spoke to a wide range of topics each time he was here, a different topic. His most recent one, which I thought was extremely interesting, was about back to school. Going back to school, because this was just a couple of weeks ago, because that can be a stressful time, not just for the students, but also for the parents. And, you know, I've been on that end of things, both ways. And I've even been through that with grandchildren as well. So I know about the back to school. And he also spoke to things like when we were heading into the summer depression, and how that can affect you. And
Most people think of cabin fever and winter depression,
exactly.
But there's actually, it can happen seasonally. So even in the summer, when people think you're the happiest because the sun's out and you're able to do things, kids are out for school, but
yeah,
that's not the case. It's a year-round issue.
That it very much is. And he's also addressed anxiety disorders and many different accounts. So Scott stands out. Also, we had with us for, I believe, four programs, Dr. Matt Bridgman here in Dubois, and he's a neuropsychologist, and he had some very interesting programs and information that he shared about how to reduce stress in your life. And as we all realize, stress can be can produce a lot. I mean, there is some good stress, but the stress can be very dangerous in the way it affects our lives and our behavior.
Absolutely. And that's where sometimes we see it, not on as much on the mental health side, but people try to cover up their stress with drugs or alcohol, and that leads them down that spiral to addiction.
For sure. And we had some programs talking about gambling addiction. We had programs addressing eating disorders. And then, of course, we've had a couple of law enforcement programs with a gentleman you may be familiar with, Ryan Sayers. And and we've also had some police officers with us from Dubois and Sandy Township throughout the past year. So, you're asking me, Ryan, about my viewpoint from this side of the microphone. It has been incredible and very informative. And I'm glad that these programs are going to stay up on the website and available as a continued resource.
Yeah, and that's the big thing, is the continued resource. But also, as I said before, and I'll say it again, I'll probably say it again before the end of the program, is there are so many providers and so many facets to addiction and mental health and the law. And this program was meant and is meant as people listen going forward, to get that information out there so people really understand the whole system.
Right.
Because it is complex dealing with these issues and who can help and what they do. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful for this program over the last year. And obviously, I hope that people have learned stuff and will continue to listen to this when they need help.
Absolutely. Ryan Sayers, the district attorney of Clearfield County, is with us today on addiction, mental health, and the law. The final program, final regular program that we'll have on Connect FM. And we want to talk now about the fact that, and you alluded to it right there in your comment about how the three situations, addiction, mental health, and law enforcement, how they are all related. If we had tried to do a program like this, you know, 50 years ago, there would probably be no discussion of especially mental health and that component. But I'm sure that you've seen just in your 5.5 years as district attorney, how that ties in so much with obviously addictions and also people getting into trouble for their behavior, whether it be due to an addiction and because of a mental health disorder. Could you kind of talk about that a little more in detail about your experience with that and how the three are related?
Yeah, I would agree with you. In regards to mental health, that used to not be as much of a facet or consideration, especially in regards to the law thing and the law side of things. And I say that because looking at the system as it's set up right now, there were and are the state hospitals and the state mental institutions, but the helping individuals with mental health issues has not really been as big of a concern until probably the last decade or so. And now, because it is recognized as a problem and a precursor or underlying issue that leads to addiction or most of the times dealing with me on the law side, people are now looking at that closer and how we can address mental health issues in the system or before they get to the system. The other thing in regards to addiction is, as I said, on the mental health side of things, people use the alcohol or drugs as a way to deal with their mental health, to silence the voices in their head or to deal with whatever struggles, trauma, stress they're dealing with. And sadly, that spirals into what we see in the court system. And individuals come in and that's, and I'm probably giving myself my own segue here, in regards to like the drug court and the Letty program, is addressing the underlying issue of addiction and mental health can help drop the recidivism rate so people don't come back into the system. And we're not talking about the traffickers or the dealers, those people that are preying on people with mental health issues and addiction. We're talking about the people that just need to break that cycle and need some help doing it, which obviously we've had a lot of those organizations over the last year and businesses and individuals come in and talk about what they do to help.
Absolutely. And you did build an excellent segue as we are going to turn our discussion now to something that you have talked about since our very first program a year ago, and that is this Letty program. Could you give us an update on Letty, what it is? Maybe people are hearing that term for the very first time, and how it's doing in Clearfield County and even beyond, because it's been put into play in many different counties and surrounding counties here in Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so when I ran for district attorney back in 2019, the one thing that I really harped on is that we need to consider diversionary programs for individuals that are the low-level offenders, addicts that get the DUI or they steal something to provide for their habit or just have possession of a small amount or paraphernalia, and they need help. And Clearfield County didn't have anything at that time. We're still waiting for a drug court program. Everything's ready for that. Some of the opioid settlement money of the account that I have, as well as the account the commissioners have, is ready to help pay for that. And I believe Judge Cherry next year, when he becomes president judge, is going to sign off and implement that program, which is great news because that's for individuals that are already in the system. What we were able to do in the interim over the last three to four years is the Law Enforcement Treatment Initiative, LETI, and it's through the Attorney General's office. They work with each county's district attorney to set up a diversionary program prior to the preliminary hearing.
Okay.
So it's individuals that just want help, or mm-hmm. they're referred by a family member or loved one, or they find themselves charged with some minor offense. And what we do is we continue their preliminary hearing mm-hmm. for a year, year and a half, and they work with Clearfield Jefferson Drug and Alcohol Commission to get the help they need, whether it's counseling, inpatient, outpatient. They help them deal with housing, help them find a job, those kind of things that get them out of the cycle of addiction and back to being a productive member of society. And the reason I said a year, year and a half is the studies have shown that a year, if you're sober for a year, that drops your relapse rate significantly.
Yes.
And we've been fortunate to have individuals come into the program. Now, I will say that we've offered it to more than the number I'm about to say, but the one thing with addiction and getting help is you have to want the help. And sadly, some people just don't want that help. They're not ready for it yet. But we've had approximately 20 people come through the program at this point.
Sure.
And prior to my last time I was on here is prior to our graduation for LETI. We had 8 individuals graduate from the program.
Super.
It was the first graduation of LETI that had been held, and the Attorney General, Dave Sunday, came up and was part of that, had a nice press conference presentation, and gave certificates and challenge coins out to all those that completed. We have a few more in the pipeline right now that are working mm-hmm. their way, should have a couple more here before the end of the year. So it's working, it's helping these individuals to kind of get on the right track.
That is so good to hear. And, you know, with it being a fairly new program, of course, it's going to take some time to see the overall effectiveness in a long-term outlook on that. But it sounds like it's off to a terrific start in Clearfield County.
Yeah, and the other thing about those individuals, so we did hold some of the, I mean, they completed the program, so they had been done with it. However, we didn't have that graduation for a period of time. So some of those people had been done with the program for approximately a year and had not come back.
We're staying clean.
And they were staying clean. So, I mean, those individuals that were the first ones to complete it mm-hmm. have now, a year, year and a half later, haven't come back in, have been clean, have jobs. The one lady that spoke at the press conference, she has a little girl happily raising her. So it's definitely a success story so far.
Nice. So good to hear that. We're, believe it or not, heading into our final 5 minutes here for today's program. It is the final program of Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law, which is sponsored, has been sponsored each week over the past year by the Clearfield County District Attorney Office. And the DA of Clearfield County, Ryan Sayers, is with us this morning for this finale. Want to touch on something else, Ryan, that we talked about our last time together. Which is an important part of this diversionary program that you've been talking about, and that is the Quihanna Boot Camp, which is located in Clearfield County. And there's been some rumblings over the past several months when it came up on the governor's list of facilities that could possibly be closing. And I know there was an informational meeting held a few months ago, and right now we're in the middle of budget wranglings, and we don't have a state budget in place yet for Pennsylvania. But could you update us on the Quihanna Boot Camp?
Yeah, so for those that don't know, the Quihanna Boot Camp is a post-sentence diversionary program mm-hmm. for those sentenced to state prison. And these are people that have long histories or habitual offenders that were doing what they're doing because they had a drug issue or needed some kind of other path to set them straight. And the Quihanna Boot Camp out Carthus, far side of Frenchville, where I grew up, mm-hmm. Is a great program. The statistics are very clear that it's a great program. Drops recidivism rate significantly for those that successfully complete it. The numbers don't lie. I wrote a letter to the governor. I know that our local senators and representatives did as well. However, we are still in the dark. They were supposed to have a decision by the middle of May, is mm-hmm. what we were initially told. And obviously, here we are at the end of July without an answer. And as you said,
in
the middle of
a budget, too.
And without a budget, right? We're a month behind on that. And, I hope and pray that in these negotiations, that part of it will be saving the Quijana Boot Camp because of the work that they do out there, the positive work that, as I said, the statistics don't lie, that. Whether it's the cost, and it's basically a wash because it drops the recidivism rate, which drops the cost of incarceration in the future, reincarceration in the future, whether it's the number of GEDs, which is the most in the DOC that people get out there. Mm-hmm. As I said, the numbers don't lie, and I really hope that it is saved as part of this budget process. I have no doubt that that's probably a bargaining chip somewhere down in Harrisburg right now.
And your perspective is an eye-opener for the rest of us because you see it firsthand in what you do every day and the fact that it has been successful. And it's also, in the economic sense, it's a big employer in Clearfield County.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, that's a big for the downriver area, but what people might be listening going, why is the DA saying about these diversionary programs? And what people I hope they'll appreciate by listening to this and listening to me over the last 5.5 years is that the district attorney is about seeking justice, not just convictions and incarceration. We have to look at everything that's in the toolbox.
Yes.
And if we can give a person a break or put them on a diversionary program so that they don't come back in the system, that's the ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people, they do heinous things and they need to never see the free light of day again.
Right.
So there's, but we have to have all the options available. And as I said, between Letty, hopefully a drug court next year, and hopefully the saving of the boot camp, all those kind of programs are important to help get people on the right track, get them out of our system, make them productive members of society.
Well, over the past 12 months, hopefully we have been able to open up that toolbox and put on display all of those different tools that are available. And District Attorney Ryan Sayers, we sure appreciate the very vital part that you've played in this happening over the past 12 months and being our guest, not only today, but several other times. We sure do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. This has been Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law for the final time. Again, you will find these podcasts available to you at connectradio.fm.